to you. Very pleased that this morning we have Wayne Carlson from Blundisham and also Alistair, who are both going to be leading the service this morning. Just a reminder that on Tuesday at 7:30 we'll have our regular Zoom prayer and Bible study. If you haven't got the details and you want to join in, please do let me know. Next Sunday, Ben Sutton will be here from Ramsey. So that's next Sunday, Ben Sutton. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. And thank you for having Wayne and me here today and leading with. It's always a joy and a privilege to come here and to share God's word, to pray and to share fellowship. Just listen to these words from Psalm 98. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands, let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. This is an amazing psalm because it tells us about the beauty of the world. It tells us how the whole of the created order effectively sings praise to God, to the one who created it and brought it into being out of nothing. And that includes us as his people. And it finishes with this kind of quite challenging message that says, he will judge the world in righteousness and peoples with equity. That means that there is absolute truth and reconciliation and accountability. And for those who follow the Lord and commit to him, their future is sure and certain. Let's just join in prayer now and give thanks to our Holy God. Father God, gracious God, we just love you and worship you, for there is nobody like you. You and you alone are worthy of worship. Lord, we come before you now and we offer this time together before you. We offer ourselves, our hearts and our whole lives to you. And Lord, we praise and worship your holy name, for you are truly God. There is none other. You and you alone are God. You and you alone are holy. You and you alone are righteous. And Lord, when we look at ourselves, we see who we are. We are your created people. Yet, Lord, we have fallen short. We are sinful. And we come to you now, Lord, and we confess our sin and we ask for forgiveness. Forgiveness that comes only through Jesus Christ, through your Son, who walked on this earth, who showed us how to live, who showed us love and grace, and who paid the ultimate price through his death on the cross. But then through his resurrection, open the door, open the gateway to life for all who would believe. And Lord, we are just so grateful that that doorway to life is open to all. Lord, we confess our sins. We ask for forgiveness. And with joyful hearts, Lord, we receive the forgiveness that comes through you. So take us now, Lord, we pray. Be with us in this next hour as we sing, as we worship, as we hear your word, as we consider what it means for us. Lord, be with us, we pray. And may our lives be enriched and brought closer to you so that we may give glory to Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let's now have two wonderful hymns. It's great that we can sing. The last time Wayne and I were here, we could not sing. We had to say the words in our minds. But now we can sing. So let's sing Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, which is in Songs of Fellowship number 148. And then we'll follow that by 147, which is Great is Thy Faithfulness. Thank you. It's always good to share testimony, isn't it? It's always a great encouragement to hear how God works in the lives of different people. And we had asked one of the members of Bluntisham Baptist Church to come today and to share his testimony with us. We were all set up to do that, but unfortunately, his wife and one of his daughters have tested positive for COVID, so Ed's not able to join us today. But what he's kindly done is just recorded his testimony for us, and we now have that on the screen. So I'd invite you to listen to these words of testimony from Ed, and to draw encouragement to how the Lord has worked and continues to work.
My name is Ed, and I'm a member of Bluntisham Baptist Church. And Wayne has asked me to speak to you about the testimony you did. And very sadly, I can't be with you in person. So I'm talking to you from the deepest self-isolation in Bluntisham a few days before your service. So I grew up in an Anglican church. My mum went to church, my dad didn't. And I got involved as I grew up. As a teenager, I was a server, so I used to grow cassock and serve with some help prepare the bread and wine with the liquor. And when I met Simone, who's now my wife, she invited me to Bluntisham Baptist Church, which is her church, and she'd been going there for many years. And I got to know a couple of their friends, and we went to an event that I think the Baptist Union organised some years ago called Leading Edge. So Leading Edge was a sort of summer camp that happened up in Warwickshire in August each year, and it's a large gathering of Baptists from all over the country. You camp out in school playing fields in Warwick, which was good fun in itself. And there's a series of events and talks that are put on along with some activities, and it's all good fun. You get to meet lots of people from different backgrounds and different ages. And second year that we went, I remember going to an evening session, evening talk, towards the end of the week. And I remember sitting at the back of this room, leaning up against a very hard iron radiator, very uncomfortable. And I suppose I zoned out for a little while. My mind wandered, and something clicked. And sort of an accumulation of things I'd heard throughout the week, something clicked, and I realised that as I was growing up and going to church with my family, going to the Anglican church with my family, that was a religion, if you like, and it was sort of going through the motions of going to church. But something clicked, leaning up against this very uncomfortable radiator in Warwickshire, and I realised that there was a bit more to it than that. And since then, I've come to know God and have become increasingly involved in the church in various ways over the years, and I have faith rather than religion. I think there's a key difference there. The other thing that really struck me, and I remember very clearly from that week away in Warwickshire, was being told at one of the sessions, don't be afraid when you go home, don't be afraid to tell people what you've been doing. Don't say, I went camping for a week, or I spent a week with my mates, but tell them that you went to Leading Edge, it was organised by the church, and tell them some of the things that you've involved with. And that has really struck me over the years. It's really stayed with me. And I often sort of think back to that. Wayne may have told you, or you may be aware, we're doing some building work in the chapel at Bluntisham at the moment. And one of the things we've done is taken out the wooden pews that have been in the church for many years, and we're putting in some chairs and things to make the space easier and better to use and a bit more accessible. So the decision was made to sell some of the pews to members of the church to fundraise. So my wife and I, Simone and I, had bought a pew that sits very proudly in our hallway now. And I was just chatting with some people at work about this recently. And I just very deliberately slipped into the conversation when they asked, where did you buy the pew? I just said, we bought it from our church, we're doing some renovation work, and I told them a little bit about it. And I think what's very important is to be open and honest with people and just drop in little bits of your church life into what you might call your non-church life, just to sow the seed of, I'm a Christian, I have faith, I believe in God. And I really think those sorts of things help people realise, you know, why you might be seen to be a bit different, and I mean that in a good way, of course. So, as I said, I'm really sorry I wasn't able to join you today. Hopefully, Wayne may ask me back, and I will come to meet you in person. And I hope it's been interesting the story of a little bit about my growing up and coming to know God and some of the things that I've done over the years. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. What a lovely testimony that is, really. I draw two main points out of that. As I was hearing Ed describing his experience, I was struck by how God uses time and circumstances to take us on our journey. And it may not seem obvious to us at any particular point what's actually happening, yet God has purpose. And our meetings with different people over the weeks and the months and the years all are purposeful. And when Ed reached that point of realizing that it's not just about going through a process and a ritual, it's about a relationship with God. It just struck me how that was a culmination of so much experience that he'd gone through. And then the second thing that struck me as Ed was talking there was his comment about using every opportunity just to slip in something about our faith. You know, I struggle with kind of, you know, making grand dramatic statements of my faith. I don't feel comfortable doing that. But I do feel very comfortable just saying little things. And I was very encouraged when Ed said a similar thing, because so often it's just a few words here and there spoken to somebody at a particular time that makes so much difference. And I do believe God works very powerfully through those tiny moments. And if we're faithful to him in seizing those moments, great things can happen. So I hope that was an encouragement to you. I found that an encouragement, and I'm grateful to Ed for doing that, and I do hope that one day he'll come here in person. As we start to move now towards our time of prayers, of intercession, reading God's word, let's just quieten our hearts and just be a little bit more reflective on what we've heard and the greatness of God. And let's sing hymn number 40, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord. That's such a wonderful thing. You know, our society today does not value stillness. It values busyness. And if your calendar is full with meetings and appointments and commitments, well, that's a good thing. In the Christian world, I don't think it works that way. It's actually, I think, the other way around. Time spent in quietness and stillness with God is good. It's the most precious thing. So let's sing now hymn number 40, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord, and really think about what that stillness is.
still. The presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. Come bow before him now with reverence and fear. Lord God, our Holy Father, we want to give you thanks. We heard just at the beginning of our service about how you created all things, and we want to thank you for your creation of this world, of all the things that are in it. We want to thank you for all the good things that you provide for us that we take so much for granted. We thank you for the harvest. We thank you for the food that we have. We thank you for our shelter, our homes, our churches, fellowship with others, and our families. Lord, we thank you for all these things, and we ask for your forgiveness as we perhaps take some of those things for granted, that we don't thank you often enough for all these good things that we have within our lives. Lord, we want to pray for those areas in the world that are not as fortunate as us, that don't have shelter, which don't have food, and who don't have money to buy things. Lord, we think of Syria, we think of Afghanistan, we think of Africa, we think of the famine in Madagascar. And Lord, we pray for workers, Christian workers in these places, who are able to help these people, who are able to not just provide practical help, but spiritual help too. And Lord, we pray that you would watch over and protect those workers, both in Grace Baptist Mission and other missionaries too, to bring your word to these people. And Lord, as we come closer to home, we pray for our country, we pray for conversions, we pray for people we meet, people we see, people we have conversations with. We pray that you would give us the words to be able to bring people closer to you, to draw them closer to you and to your love. We pray for our royal family, Lord, and the turmoils that each member is going through. We thank you for our Queen, who conveys such witness during her Christmas speeches and during her demeanour. Lord, we pray for her. We pray for her family. We pray for our Prime Minister and the government. Lord, give them wisdom as they deal with the difficulties that this virus has given, that shortages have provided. Lord, we pray that you would supply all our needs. And Lord, as we come even closer to our village, we thank you for the new housing estates that are going up in the village, and we pray that there may be opportunities to bring people here, to meet people, to talk to them, to be able to draw them closer to you. We thank you for our church fellowship here. We do pray for those who are unwell. Lord, we bring them before you and ask that you place your healing hand upon them. We continue to bring our need of a pastor to you, an under-shepherd, to lead us and to guide us. Lord, we know you have the man in waiting, and we just pray for patience as we wait on your decision. And we do pray for accommodation too for that man and his family when the time comes. And Lord, we do pray for Wayne as he brings the message to us. And we just ask that you would open our ears and our hearts that we might hear what you have to say through him. And we lift all these things and ask that you answer our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Our reading today is taken from the second book of Kings. I'd like to ask Keith if he will read that to us.
I'm reading 2 Kings 6, verses 8 to 23. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, I will set up my camp in such and such a place. The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware of passing that place. because the Arameans are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, "Will you not tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel?" "None of us, my lord the king," said one of his officers. "But Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. Go, find out where he is, the king ordered, so that I can send men and capture him." The report came back, "He is in Dothan." Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. And the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning. An army with horses and chariots surrounded the city. "Oh my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "O Lord, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down towards him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, "Strike these people with blindness." So he struck them with blindness. Elisha had asked. Elisha told them, "This is not the road, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will lead you to the man you are looking for." And he led them to Samaria. After they entered the city, Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men so that they can see." And the Lord opened their eyes and they looked. And there they were, inside Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elisha, "Shall I kill them, my father? Shall I kill them?" "Do not kill them," he answered. "Would you kill men you have captured with your own sword or bow? Set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink and then go back to their master." So he prepared a great feast for them. And after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away and they returned to their master. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory.
Thank you, Keith. It's amazing what you see when you open your eyes, isn't it? To prepare ourselves for hearing God's word through Wayne, let's sing hymn number 443. Open the eyes, open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus. Hymn number 443.
Thank you.
thank you for our brother Wayne. Thank you for the message that you have put on his heart that he'll bring to us now. Lord, we know that this is from you, and we want to hear it, Lord. Unpack this marvellous scripture. Show how we can apply it to our lives and take a richer journey as a result of that. To the glory of your holy name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Is this thing working?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, good. Thank you ever so much for your welcome to us. And it is a joy to be back here with you and praising and looking at God's Word. Thank you, Alistair, for leading. Much, much appreciated. I'll tell you what, somebody else leading makes it so much easier for the person who's speaking. There's a lot of preparation in the organizing it. And that's taken from your shoulders, and you can concentrate more upon the Word of God. I also was very grateful for Ed for being willing to give his testimony, and then when he couldn't come, made the extra effort to record it for us. Big thank you to Paul. He's been working extra hard today, trying to get that thing to work, and then leading in prayer. Thanks ever so much for that, and Keith for reading the scriptures. It's so good. Just to sit and listen to the Word of God read. And as it's read, God brings out more and more things to you. I hope you find that's the case with you. And of course, I want to thank each of you for your prayers this past week or before, for praying for me, because it's a big, big responsibility to preach and to open God's Word that people can hear it, and that the Holy Spirit can apply it. We need to do this right. And you know, there's also something very good about sharing. We heard Ed sharing his faith, and I'd never heard it before, so I was really encouraged by that. But the other week, other day, Alistair and I met together for prayer and how to consider the service that we were going to be doing today. And we just opened our hearts and shared with each other. And it was really, really a blessing to me, and I so appreciate it. I think Alistair did as well. Well, this morning, we're going to be looking at the Old Testament passage, and Keith read it for us, I'm grateful. I don't know about you, but I really like the Old Testament. There's so much in the Old Testament, we can't ignore it. And it's great to see how God used people in the Old Testament, how he worked in their lives. And these things that happen are for our benefit, and we can learn from them. The Apostle Paul wrote in the New Testament, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." So I pray that as we look at this passage, that the Holy Spirit will teach us, rebuke us, correct us, and train us so that we become righteous people to do every good work for God. Now, it would really be good if you could have your Bibles before you open. Not just have the Bibles before you, but have them open to follow along. And also, if you had a pencil and paper to write down some scripture verses, because I will be going to other passages, and it would be good for you to copy them down and this afternoon read through and meditate upon those words. It's just a good idea, I think. So we're looking at this passage. First, we're going to look at how it happened, the events back when it actually happened. And then I'm going to try to bring application to us in the year 2021. But actually, there's only going to be one point that I'm going to be speaking about today, really, is in verse 16. We're going to come look at that later. Now, this, the events here that we read in 2 Kings 6 takes place after the time when David and Solomon were king, and after the time that the kingdom of Israel had been split in two. There was a northern kingdom called Israel and a southern kingdom called Judah. Now, this takes place in the northern kingdom of Israel. And it was when King Aram, that's from the Damascus area, came down often. He came down often several times to make raids on the northern kingdom of Israel. Another example of this would be in 2 Kings chapter 5, the story of Nahum, when he had done that as well. And they were causing havoc and trouble for the people. But as we read here in verse 8, of our chapter, let's get the right page. The king was having trouble because it seemed like every time he was set an ambush for the people, the king of Israel already knew about it and was counteracted it, had avoided the place or turned the tables on the people. And it was getting frustrating, he was quite angry about it, and he said, "Look it." He called his officers together and he said, "There must be a traitor among us. There must be a turncoat. There must be a spy. Who is it?" And one of the commanders said, "No, it's not us, sir. It's Elisha, the prophet. Because he says what you're going to do and he reports it to the king. In fact, Elisha knows what you are saying in your bedroom." As I read that, that's pretty strong stuff. Wow. But of course, God knows what's in our thoughts. God knows our hearts. And so we have to be careful what we say and do. Of course, the king, when he heard this, he was furious. "All right, we'll go get Elisha. Wipe him out." Now, isn't that the way that we do when God convicts us? We try to get rid of the source that's interfering about what we want to do. So we do it the wrong way. Well, anyway, the king goes, he sends some troops, rather, surrounds the city. Great. I also, as you were reading it, Keith, I thought, there was one man in one city, and he sends a great big army to fetch him. What kind of man was he did expect Elisha to be? I don't know. But anyway, they surrounded the city, and the next morning Elisha's servant goes to outside, and all he sees is this huge army of the enemy surrounding him. And he says, "Oh no. How do you pray that?" Yeah, he says, "Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?" He didn't see anything but the army around him. He saw the problem. But Elisha, if you noticed, was different. He said to him, "Don't be afraid." How often do you read that in the scriptures? "Don't be afraid." And Elisha prayed. No, he said in verse 16, "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And he prayed that God would open his eyes. Someone once said to me, "God in one is majority." But in actual fact, God is the majority. And when we're on his side, then we are in the majority. We're on the winning side. We read similar words in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and verse 7. This is another time when, this time Judah was surrounded by the armies of Sennacherib. And they were, they were in a sense a minority of the Israelite, of the Jewish people. And the king of Sennacherib was a huge army. And Hezekiah said to the people, "Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged, because the king of Assyria and the vast army..." Sorry, let me read that again. Not at all. "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria and the vast army with him. For there is a greater power with us than with him. With him it is only the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battle. That's faith in God. And you know, David, when he was fighting Goliath, was the same way. He didn't see a giant in front of him. He saw God was with him. And he said, by the power of God, you're going to be defeated. And the New Testament, Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, Paul writes this. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? The Apostle John wrote in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Great promises, great encouragement from those things. With God, we are more than conquerors. And then, you know, at this chapter, we have a strange outcome. Alistair and I were talking about it even this morning. I can't really explain it or anything, but the thing that happened was, he asked God to blind him, and they did. And he says, you're in the wrong road, the wrong city, I'll take you, follow me. But here's this great big army following this one man. How did this happen? Only God could do it. And so they went and they walked into the city of Samaria. And the gates were closed. That was where the king was of Israel. And then he prayed, Lord, open their eyes. And when they realized that they were surrounded by the Israelites, they were perhaps subdued quite a bit. And then the king says, wow, what shall I do? Shall I kill him? Shall I kill him? And I says, no, you would not have to do that. What you're supposed to do is to feed him and give him water and then send him back to the master. But not only did he feed him and give him drink, he gave him a feast. And you know, that reminds me of the New Testament, where Paul writes in Romans chapter 12 and verse 20, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. And in doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. And the Bible tells us there in that chapter that after that happening, the king of Aram stopped invading the territory for a while. But it worked. But you know, what I want to get across this tonight, today, rather more than anything else, is that we are very much Christians, very much like Elisha's servant. We look around in our world and we see the situation that we're in. Global warming, rising gas prices, shortage of workers, shortage of truck drivers, wars, unrest, the rise of false religion, the suppression of Christians, the COVID pandemic, greed, selfishness, natural disasters, refugees in every country, people fleeing their country and coming to other countries, causing dismay. We're overwhelmed. Corrupt governments, terrorists and violence, curbs on Christian practices, there's a rise in drug abuse, hatred of people of different races, and violence toward them. The number increase of teenage being involved in murders and being killed. The complete misuse of the name of God. Lower church attendances. Lack of godly people to take part in church services or even attend it. And that's just to name a few. And you know what happens? The danger for us Christians is we see all these problems, we cover our heads and run to our shelter, lock the doors, and we'll just wait until Jesus comes again. We're all right. Let's keep safe. I've just finished reading a book called Secret Believers by Brother Andrew. Maybe some of you have read it. It's been around for a few years. And it takes place in a Muslim country, someplace in the Middle East. And Brother Andrew was talking to the pastors or the church leaders and said, well, how is the church in this country doing? And the leader of the church said, well, we are surviving. Just surviving. But the church is not just to survive. The church is a fighting force, the Bible tells us. We're an army of God. We are soldiers, and we are light and salt in our homes, our places of work. Didn't Jesus say to Peter, upon this church, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it? Why are we, as Christians, hiding behind doors? Why are we so afraid to speak? Because I'll tell you, the one who is for us is stronger than the one who is against us. When Jesus sent his disciples out in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16, he said to them, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. He didn't promise them an early easy life, but a dangerous one, and warned them of persecution and even death. But he also said, in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age. Christ is with us. He who is with us is greater than the one who is against us. We should not fear. He's greater than all those that would be against us. We might be small. We might be in a small area. But if we've got God in our hearts, let's go out and challenge Him. Let's go out and preach the Word of God and let God's Spirit do the work. We have a great opportunity, and let's not face it. You know, but our battle is spiritual rather than the issues that we can see. They're the only the symptoms that we face. We need spiritual armor. And in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20, we read about putting on the whole armor of God. As you read that bit, will you notice that after Paul says, get the whole armor of God on, from top to toe, you'd almost expect him to say, go out. But what does he say? Pray. And I'll tell you what, I find that when I pray, I need the armor of God. It's hard work praying. I get so distracted. It seems like the devil's trying to distract me from what I'm supposed to be saying or praying to God. Prayer is hard work, and we need the spiritual armor of God. And another thing, just this is aside from the Baptist, but the armor that and Paul was using the illustration of the Romans, they had to put that armor on. They couldn't do it themselves. They needed help with the breastplate and the shin guards and all that. They needed help. Each helped the other. And the army of Roman army, they went out as a unit, not individually, and they protected each other. And I believe that we as Christians also need help putting God's armor on. A brother, a sister, each day, we need to encourage one another, to build each other up, to help them. We are not to stand alone. We work as a group. I want to close with a short passage from Habakkuk. It's one of those Old Testament books, a minor prophet. Not easy to find, but please go with me to Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3. And what's happened here, Habakkuk's greatly concerned because of the Babylonians are going to come in and destroy his nation. And troubles are coming. He knows it, being a prophet. And in verse 17, this is his thing. He said, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stall, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. What a verse. When we were looking at the service, Alistair and I, we said, maybe we could modernize that a bit. And you can put your own words in, but we come up with something like this. Though there is discord in the government, and gas prices are soaring, though the COVID cases rise, and hospital waiting lists are getting longer, though there are no petrol in the filling stations, and no goods on the shelves, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. My God, and I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. Let's go out confident that God is with us, because no matter what we see around us, he who is in us is greater than the one who is against us. Mm. Are you able to say that as Habakkuk did? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit that teaches us. And we just ask now that we might apply it to our lives, that we might really, really know that you are in us and that we are greater than those that are against us. Help us to be brave and forward, even though there may be dangers, persecution, and maybe even death. But because you are with it. These Old Testament people lived for you, and they knew that you were with them. May we be the same. Amen. We're going to close by singing hymn number 97, sort of a modern one. I'd like for us to sing it as a prayer, if we may. 97, Father, I place into your hands the things that I cannot do. Father, I place into your hands the things that I've been through. Father, I place into your hands the way that I should go. For I know I can always trust you. And the second verse, it says, Father, I place into your hands the things that trouble me. Father, I place into your hands the person I would be. Let's stand and sing.
Thank you.
Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon you and remain with you now and forever.